Welcome to the Landmark Apostolic Church podcast. We hope that this message inspires you and brings impact to your life. Enjoy the message.
What amount of time that we gather together. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Begin reading just at verse number 10, just a couple verses here. Matthew 15, verse number 10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Not what goes in, what comes out. And just want to talk to you for the next little bit. I love this subject in the Bible, but I want to talk to you just from the next little bit from this title, The Weight of Your Words. The Weight of Your Words. Amen. Would you help me pray right now? God, we love you in this place. We're thankful, God, to be gathered here together. God, we ask that you'd move. Let the anointing be upon your word this morning. We ask it in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Let your word go forth. Let it find good soil. God, and I pray in everything that we do today would bring you glory, would bring you praise, would bring you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You would think that by now, where I am at in this stage of parenting, three boys, oldest is 11, turned 12 in August. The youngest is 2. You would think that by now, I would be past the things that they do that gross me out. But I'm not. So, oh man, even this morning, it just was almost confirmation for the message this morning. I was making a piece of toast, and Reddick is there sitting on the island. I asked him if he wanted toast, and it was yes, then no, and he's one of those ones, you might as well just fix it, because he'll eat it, but sure as you don't, he'll be crying that you didn't make him one, but I didn't make him one, so I made toast, and I had the strawberry jam that was sitting out, and he's like, "I'll open it for you," so he opened it for me, and I went to grab the toast, and he picks up the jam lid and just licks the inside of the lid. So I'm like, "But just don't do that, you know, just don't, you know." And so I took it as confirmation this morning for this lesson. So, but things that the kids do, and not so much, you know, Easton and Bennett, they've kind of grown out of the gross thing somewhat, but it is more Reddick at this stage, you know, the taking a drink and the backwashing and things like that. I don't share a cup with my kids. God bless the mothers out there that do. My wife, it just doesn't bother her whatsoever. Maybe because she's a hygienist and she sees kind of just some gross things on a weekly basis, right? And so maybe that's kind of built up some sort of strength inside of her. But there's things that they do that just, you know. And so eating food off the floor. There's, you know, there's the 5-second rule that a lot of people abide by. No, not Reddick for sure. I mean, we did not even the same day rule. You know, it's like we don't even know how long it's been there. You know, and so we're eating it, or using their sleeve as a hanky, or my sleeve as a hanky. And there's those moms out there that will just wipe it. But the one, and I don't mean to gross everybody out here this morning, I think the one that takes the cake for me is the old milk in the sippy cup. Yeah, right? That takes the cake for me. And I don't think that the kid's trying to enjoy it, but Reddick, he literally, if it resembles something you can drink out of, he will try his best to get something out of it. I have a gas can out in the garage that has the spout. He thought it was a straw. And I mean, as soon as he's seen it. I mean, he's trying it out. So, you know, that's him. And so we got to be on guard like all of the time, you know. And most of you are aware of my distaste for expired milk, right? We can't even drink milk on the day of expiration. So, right, Denton, we've got to get that out of the house as soon as we got to finish it before the date of expiration. So there's none of this. Well, that's just, you know, good to sell by. It's still good. No, it's not. It's done for. It's expired. Let's get rid of it. Let's move on with our lives. But milk in a sippy cup is a dangerous thing. So any cup that Reddick picks up to go to, we're like, what's in that? You know, what is in that? You know, and if it's milk, we don't even wonder or question, was it, did we pour it earlier? Is it the same date? No, just let's stay away unless I freshly poured this milk into the sippy cup. Then it is safe to drink. But any parents out there know what I'm talking about. The kids got a hold of that. And I get it. We've got the Stanleys and the Yetis and things like that are keeping things cold. But let's just not play games with this type of thing. So the Gospel of Matthew. How about that for a segue? The Gospel of Matthew tells us that there is something more dangerous than taking in something bad. And that is speaking out something that is bad. All right. Matthew 15 is our text this morning. And Jesus had called the multitudes and he said unto them, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, but it's what comes out. That's what defiles a person. Jesus is like, hey, it's not what people put into their mouths that make them unclean. It's what comes out of their mouths that make them unclean. Okay, so talking about words today, the weight of our words. Here's a fun fact for you today. Did you know that the average person, okay, and I'm talking average here, middle of the road, average person, I'm not talking about the overly talkative, chatty Cathys of the world, or the super shy one of the world. I'm talking the average person, statistics say, spends 1/5 of their life talking. 1/5 of their life talking. The average. Now, that's the average person that I'm talking about. So if all of our words were put into print somehow, the result would be this, that a single day's words would fill up a 50-page book. And in a year's time, the average person's words would fill 132 books of 200 pages. That's the average middle-of-the-road person. Now, some of you are like, nah, not me, Bryce. I mean, I would maybe write 4 books in a decade. You know, I just, you know, and then others of you are like, bro, I would just fill a library. Like some of you are talking right now. You know, we just love to talk. Okay, we love to do it, right? Now, the point of that, sharing this stat with you is this. We are constantly talking. We're constantly talking. We're constantly communicating. We are. We talk on the phone. We talk to others. We text. Some of us talk to ourselves. You post on social media. That counts. Okay. That's communicating some thoughts and sharing some things with your circle of friends. We are a communicating creature. Let's understand that this morning. Created by a God who communicates via words. And so we are constantly talking, constantly thinking, constantly sharing what we think. Maybe a little too much sometimes, to be honest with you, but some of us are external processors, some of us are internal processors, but we all talk a lot. 1/5 of our life will be spent with our mouth open. Now, that's, to me, a lot of opportunity for us to bless, and that's a lot of opportunity for us to curse. And I'm not talking about curse words. Okay, you follow me this morning? That's not what I'm talking about today. So in the end here, it should not surprise us that the Word of God and God's invitation into the life as He designed it to be would have some things to say about how you and I spend one-fifth of our life, right? It shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't be surprising that God has an idea, a design for how we use those words that we're speaking. Speaking is central to God. God Himself is Word. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you see, God Himself is Word, and His speech commanded nothing to be everything, according to John 1. Psalms 29 talks about the voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. God alone is Word. You know, that's why a lot of times, you know, there's some people who, you know, if spirit breaks out and people come to the altar during worship and God moves and people get touched in that moment, and then we move on and there's no preaching. People are like, we didn't get the Word today. No, we got the Word because Jesus is the Word. Okay, you always get the Word with Him. So, but moving on, you know, when God wants, you know, the dead to come to life, He simply speaks, live. When Jesus wanted His friend Lazarus to walk out of the grave, He spoke, Lazarus, come out, okay? So we serve a speaking God today. Hebrews talks about who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. So friend, if Jesus were to stop speaking, you and I would stop existing this morning. How unlike the idols of this world is our speaking God. You will never hear a croak from the bales of this world, but the Bible lets us know that the heavens tell of the glory of God, and the skies announce what His hands have made. Day after day, they tell the story. We simply cannot escape the revelation of God, because He is a God who speaks. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 8 records the story of the centurion man that came to Jesus for help because his servant was seriously ill. The Bible says that the officer said, "Lord, my servant is at home in bed. He can't move his body and is in much pain." You see what happens when you drink expired milk? It's bad. So I'm just kidding. I'm reading into the word. But in response to this man's plea, Jesus immediately agrees to come to the man's house and heal him. Now, this is where it gets interesting for me. The centurion protests that there's no need for Jesus to come and enter his home. Jesus said, "I'll come. I will come. I will be there." And he says, "No, Lord. You don't need to come." He said, "I'm a man of authority, right? I have people over me and I have people under me." And he said, "I speak to them and they go. They come when I call." And he said, "Because I have authority, and if they don't do what I say, I have the power to take them out." He was saying, "You, Lord." What he was saying was, "Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." What he was ascribing to God was the sovereign ability, and he was acknowledging God's superiority, that all you have to do, you are not a man that is subject to geography like we are. You are not a man subject to interpretation, but if you just speak the word only, my servant who is miles away can be healed in the same moment. Anybody thankful that that's the God that we serve today, that we serve a living God who can just speak the word and everything can change? We serve a God that speaks. And here's where I'm going with this message this morning. At creation, God spoke the world into existence. In the beginning, God said, let there be, and it was. That should tell you and I something about the weight of words. And it should humble each and every one of us to know that God has given us the same power of speech. Okay, that is part of the terrible privilege of being made in His image. You have great power in your speech that can unleash a forceful fury, that can create, that can tear down, that can heal, that can hurt. The book of James tells us, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak. And all my quick-witted friends out there felt shame. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Be quick, be speedy, be the rabbit when it comes to listening, but be slow, be the turtle when it comes to talking. But we're not in a culture that flips those two, right? Hasn't 24-hour news cycles and the constant need for information, for maybe gossip, made us talkers long before we are listeners? Here's the whole premise of James chapter 1. Words are powerful. With them we bless, we build up, and with them we curse, and we burn to the ground. And throughout the whole Bible, this is actually a very common conversation. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, that might sound overstated, but I challenge you to do a little research. Look at the statistics sometime and see how often teenagers and young adults are taking their own lives simply for the constant tearing down and mocking that they get from their peers. There are hundreds and hundreds of stories of teenagers and college students and young adults who have ended their lives not because of some deep depression, not because of some chemical imbalance, not because of the constant issues that they... No. It's the constant, the nonstop belittling, the mocking, and the tearing down of other people, whether in their face or via social media or in their life, that led them to take their own lives. How often do we make and take things so personally sometimes, and we read into things, and when we get to that stage and we read a post on Facebook and it's like, oh, that's about me. They're talking about me. And they take that as if someone is tearing them down. Now, maybe that person was intending to do it and shame on them, but sometimes when it's happened over and over and over again, they can't help but to look into something and say, that's about me. And sadly, people have ended their own lives. Why? Because of words. Words have the power of life and death. Proverbs would also argue that not only do they have the power of life and death, but they have the power to wound or to heal. Proverbs 12, 18, there is one whose rash words are like the sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So words can wound, and if we're honest, almost all of us could probably think back and remember when someone said something to us that cut so deep that it affected us later and possibly still affects us today. We can still hear the words that wounded us and hurt us. Words are powerful. Amen. with them, we can either build up or we can tear down. We can bless or we can curse. Our words have the power of life and death. They have the power to wound or to heal. And that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew. There is something more dangerous than taking in something that's bad. And that's speaking out something that's bad. With our own words, church, you are prophesying over your life. When God hears you speak, my job's terrible. This car is a piece of junk. My kids are ungrateful. My spouse is lazy. Your town is too small. On and on and on. You are prophesying over your life. And not only does God hear it, but your enemy hears it too. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you proclaim. That's what I was talking about earlier when I opened up that faith is several things in the Word of God. It's a fruit, it's an act, it's a word. There are some things in your life that you need to speak out and speak against, things that you might not be experiencing right now, but you speak it anyways. You speak the word of faith. No doubt there's some issues going on in your life right now. No doubt that you are fighting some demons. No doubt that you have issues that you're struggling with, but don't claim it. Don't speak it into your life. You speak what is good. You speak what is life. You speak the promises. You speak the word of God. You speak what is yes and amen over your life. Because what you are speaking, you are speaking it into existence. You are prophesying. What self-fulfilling prophecies are you articulating today? Can I just say, we got too many that are wounded and not receiving healing because of what's being spoken. We got a lot of death that is coming out of our mouths. There's a lot of negative speech, and I just get on social media for 10 minutes and that will be plenty to satisfy you for the rest of the day of all of the negativity. And I don't even need to mention we're in a political year right now. Okay, and I just want to remind you today, there is great power in speaking out something that is good. And that's what I want to do today. I want to speak into your life. I want to speak it. God wants to speak into your life and in your circumstance and speak a healing into that situation that you're fighting. You're not going to hear any wounds from this preacher today. I'm up here speaking life and healing, and it's all in the name of Jesus Christ. You believe that this morning? You can receive a word today that can bring healing in your life. Amen. You should just try it for a moment. Try it today. Carve out some time today in worship today. Speak into your life. Speak into an area that needs a little growth. Speak to the negative side of your life and say, no more. Not today, Satan. Get thee behind me. Not today. I'm speaking life. I'm speaking what thus saith the Lord. The scripture says that we will eat the fruit of our words. Proverbs 18. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you know that every time you speak, you are planting seed? And at some point, you're going to eat that fruit. So I just simply submit to you this morning, make sure you're planting the right kind of seeds. If you want oranges, you're not going to throw out cactus seeds, okay? If you want apples, you're going to have to sow some apple seeds. Does that shock anybody here today? Like, man, this is deep. This is so deep. Of course not. It doesn't shock any of us. It makes absolute sense, okay? Listen, you can't talk negative and expect to live a positive life. You can't talk defeat and expect to have victory. You can't talk lack, not enough, can't afford it, never get ahead, this is my lot in life, and expect to have abundance. And it's so if you don't like what you're seeing, why don't you go ahead and start sowing some different seed? Why don't you go ahead and change what it is you're speaking, what it is you're saying? Start speaking some things into your life. Start speaking some things into your life. Amen. That's all right, church. It's all right to stand on the word of God. It's all right to stand on his promises. We should. That's what the word is there for. People's like, I need a word from God. I need a word from God. I need God to speak to me. He's already spoken to us. You can speak that. You can get up this morning. You can get up tomorrow morning. The promises of God are not just for my neighbor, but they're for me also. If God be for me, then who can be against me? All things work together for the good. God will fight for me. God can heal me. God can save me. I am more than a conqueror. I am a victorious person in Jesus Christ. You sow that seed. And eventually, you're going to eat that fruit. I don't know about you or anybody else, but I want to reap a harvest of good things. James said, with our tongue, we can bless our life or we can curse it. I don't know anybody that wants to choose the curse. I don't know anybody that has made that their life mission. I want my life to be cursed. But there are some people out there that even though they don't even realize that they're speaking that curse into their life, they're speaking that curse into existence. This is all I'll ever have. This is all I'll ever be. This is the hand that God dealt me. No doubt that we all find our places in different parts of society. No doubt. But you can do something about it. You don't have to accept any of that. You can speak things into your life and watch them come to pass and one day be eating that fruit that you proclaim. Maybe a year ago, 6 months ago, maybe 5 years ago. But it will come to pass. It's how the law of sowing and reaping works. With our tongue, we can bless our life or we can curse our life. And there are many people, and I'll ask our music to come. You're like, oh, 25 minutes in? Sweet. There are many people that don't even realize that with their words, they are cursing their future. You see, sometimes the enemy doesn't have to defeat us. Maybe when the enemy shows up, he already finds us defeated. And that's because we've been defeated by ourselves. I know you know this, but you truly are your greatest enemy. I wonder this morning, how many blessings we have talked ourselves out of. I wonder how many answered prayers we have talked ourselves out of. Choosing defeat instead of victory to come out of our mouths. Proverbs 6 says we are, and I want you to hear this. We are snared. Everybody say snared. Snared by the words of our mouth. Snared. Trapped. You see, your words can trap you, cause you to stumble, keep you from your potential that God has for you. You're not snared by what you think. We all have negative thoughts that come to us from time to time. If you don't, you're not human. You're not alive. We all have negative thoughts that meet us at the door Monday morning. Monday afternoon, negative thoughts. Okay. We're not trapped by those. Can't help that sometimes. Being in a world that is so negative, okay, you really can't escape it. I think it would do us some good to, you know, we just went through Romans on our midweek service nights to do what Paul kind of talks about, how he talks about keeping evil simple. You know, a lot of times we do the opposite of that. I think it would be good for us to sometimes just be ignorant of what's going on in the world. I think it would be okay not to know every single thing that is happening in, oh, the CIA is going to get busted and there's all this, you know, they're sending a ship to the moon and there's a briefcase there and when they open it up, they're going to find all of these plans and this is a conspiracy theory. It's okay to be ignorant of some things that are going on. You don't have to be so wrapped up in it. You don't have to be so caught up in, but keep evil simple. Just keep it simple. Proverbs 6 says, we're snared by the words of our mouth. And again, not by what we think. We're surrounded with so much evil. We're surrounded with so much negative. You really can't escape it. You're not trapped by what you think, but it's when you speak on it. When you speak those words out, you give them life, they become a reality. When you speak the negative, you've just made your situation so much more difficult. You've made it harder. You've stopped the favor of God that was ordained for you. You've set limits on your life. All of a sudden, that ceiling has just crept down even lower. I think it's interesting that snares are typically a trap to try and catch birds. It's a trap that is designed to catch a variety of different animals, but specifically animals that can fly. Do you know this morning that you were designed to fly? You were designed to soar in this life. Your life is not meant to be mediocre and boring, and I'm just going to make it from Sunday to Sunday, from Sunday to Wednesday, from camp meeting to camp meeting. I'm just going to survive. That's a boring life. That's not how you were designed to be. You weren't meant, you were created, designed by God for flight, but our words have snared us. They have trapped us. In Matthew 6, as you stand with me this morning, Matthew 6, Jesus is talking about worry here. I don't have anybody in here that worries. But he said, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? I want you to notice the phrase, take no thought saying. Here's the deal. The negative thoughts will come. You can't help that. It's in our nature. And again, we're constantly surrounded by it. They're going to come. The key is not to say them. Take no thought saying. That thought will die if you don't speak it. Jesus was saying, you may feel worried. You may experience that. It may seem like it's never going to happen, but take no thought saying. Don't verbalize it. Don't speak it. Don't get trapped by your words. And it's okay not to know what's going on and how it's all going to play out. You just need to know that God knows. You just need to know that it's in His hands. And in His hands, it is safe. Whatever's going on, I'm going to put it in His hands. God, I don't see a way, but I know that You're the way out. God, I don't know where the funds are going to come from, but I know it made it look impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Death and life. Death and life. They're in the power of the tongue. I choose blessing. I choose to speak that which is good. David out on the battlefield standing up against the giant Goliath. He could have said anything he wanted. No doubt there was fear. No doubt there was trembling and shaking. And he was up against this foe that was just so much larger than him. And just this physical specimen that was standing out across the battlefield. He could have said anything. But David, he may have felt all of those things. But he spoke faith. He spoke faith. You come against me with sword and shield. I come against you in the name of the Lord. He didn't speak his fear. He spoke truth. Some of you, you don't even realize what is true in your life that you can speak. Been lied to so many times by the enemy that we've started to believe the lie. We've started to believe this is who we are. This is all we'll be. This is all we'll have. This is my lot in life. The devil would love for you to believe that. The devil loves for you to just forget about your potential. Forget about the reason you were designed for. This is all that it is. All of it. Just be happy with it. Just be satisfied. And I know there's great gain in being content and everything like that. But when you're living below your potential, we got an issue. We got a problem. God's designed you to fly and soar in life. Are you flying? Are you soaring today? Maybe take a look at your daily conversations. Now you're speaking and what you're saying. Maybe that will give you a clue on your trajectory, where you're at. As they begin to play and sing, I just ask.
Thank you for listening. Special thanks to those that give generously to this ministry. If you would like more information, please visit our website at landmarkapostolicchurch.net. But have a great day and God bless.